Hey there, everybody. What's up? Happy New Year. I hope this message finds you well, happy, healthy, and motivated. And if not, maybe this will help you as you think about what you would like to accomplish in your life this year. And it's funny, there's two camps about the New Year, as I've seen. There's one camp that loves to do the New Year's resolutions and are religiously committed to it. And there's the other camp that thinks that it's corny and it's not necessary and it just makes you feel more unmotivated than anything. You've got to find what works best for you. I just figured that maybe I would share a couple of my ideas about what gets me up in the morning to do what I do. And we'll see where this goes. So we're just gonna just have a little drive and talk about how to stay motivated in life in general and stay on track with your goals and objectives, to hold yourself accountable, to pursue personal responsibility, to understand the value of taking care of you first before you take care of other people. And no, I do not mean that in a selfish, narcissistic way. I mean that in a way that has the highest of intentions and not just intentions, but actions. You know, it's going to spur you to positive and empowering action in your life, because we talk about a lot of stuff, and here I am just talking because that's all I can do. I can't physically do anything right now about whatever it is you're struggling with. And there's a time to listen and a time to talk and a time to contemplate things, but there's also the time for action. I mean, action is the truth, ultimately. And I was inspired by reading some of the works of Marcus Aurelius, his book Meditations and some of the writings that he had spurred a whole field of philosophy called Stoicism, the Stoics. And basically the idea that the highest truth is discovered in action. And there's many competing schools of philosophy, and you might have your own version of what you feel applies best to you. But I'm the kind of person that I like to look at this stuff with an open mind and try to take in as many pieces of the puzzle as possible. And by the puzzle, I mean all the different amazing, brilliant ideas that human beings have had, as some of the most brilliant of us have had and written down and have been proven out over the centuries and over the years. And there are elements of this philosophy from Marcus Aurelius that I find work so well with the warrior philosophy. In fact, you could say that what's encapsulated in Marcus Aurelius's book about truth in action is the same concept that you will see throughout various martial arts and warrior traditions. You will see that same concept, which is the idea that you can sit there and draw stuff on a whiteboard all you want. You can put together slideshow presentations and read all kinds of books of philosophy, and you can travel, and you can do all these things, and you can have a lot of heady ideas. But if all you're doing is living in your head, how can you validate truth? Now, you could validate truth through deductive reasoning and philosophy and communicating with that still small voice within, and you can think about that concept and you can understand what that is, you know, tapping into your potential and peeling back all those layers of self-doubt. But thinking your way out of these things is limited. In fact, some schools of philosophy would say so limited that it's actually detrimental to the process of discovering truth. It's just one idea. Let's just throw it out there. And so if we think about our New Year's resolutions from the perspective of Marcus Aurelius, and I could also throw in a bunch of other martial artists and warriors who have written stuff down about this kind of stuff, then what we're talking about here is not talking about it anymore. Not saying, I'm going to do it, and then not doing it. Not thinking a bunch of stuff in your head and then leaving it there to just fester and die. But to actually take action on your thoughts. And then to use that process in its entirety. Because think about it, guys, all these competing schools of thought and philosophy, they all have something to offer. That's why they've survived for thousands of years or hundreds of years. Or, I mean, there's new philosophies, right? Or there's philosophies that have sort of been touched up and refurbished. Maybe for the good, maybe for the bad. I don't know. You'll have to tell for yourself. But this process of trying to find your potential or your motivation or express your uniqueness as a human being or live the freedom lifestyle to its fullest cannot just exist inside your head. You can't just crawl into a cave and think use your thoughts for the rest of your life. If you want to actually see some benefit in your life, in your health, in your wealth, in your friendships and relationships, and to be able to actually see an idea in your mind, take it out of the realm of thought and translate it into action that produces results that can be measured and demonstrated to be successful. And what I mean by successful is ultimately true and proven. That's success. Success is thought to action and then making it manifest, manifesting truth. That's what success is. Success in life, success every breath, life in every breath, as the samurai would say. That's success. So you got to breathe life into your thoughts. And you do that by taking action. And that's what we're afraid of, guys. And that's one of the biggest reasons why I think many people are actually afraid of the truth. Because the truth reveals, doesn't it? It's not a bag of gold or something, or a pot at the end of a rainbow somewhere, or a superpower, or some mystical thing that has no tangible aspect to it. The truth is actually a cleanser. The truth is a weapon. The truth is a shield. And the truth, what other things can I say about the truth? The truth, when thought of and then brought into action in your life, that's the process of enlightenment. It's light. What is a thought? Let's think about it like this. What is a thought? Go read some Walter Russell and Nikola Tesla. He wrote some amazing things about what thought is. And then Marcus Aurelius, what did he think thought was? And then forget about what those guys said. Think about thought. Think about what you think thought is. And then remember that that's just the beginning stages of the process of living. Living, you don't see living people just sitting there doing nothing. That's why there's a certain element of the Eastern mystical school that I think even that element of just sitting still all the time, like that's the only way to connect to truth, is just somewhere in some doorway in your mind. It has become an extreme thing where that some people think that that's the only way. And then other people would say, no, action is only the method of realizing truth or all that kind of stuff. What if you put it all together, because you do have two hemispheres of the brain, and realize that it's both, and it's actually different components of a process. There's a process involved, okay? So I'll use martial arts as an example, and I'll use jiu-jitsu because I just got off the mats. I just finished some rolling, drilling, and training, and catching up with everybody. It's my first roll of the year after taking a 10-day hiatus of just eating and drinking and laughing and sitting and doing nothing, which is exactly what I wanted to do for 10 days. I needed a break. And I get off my butt, and I come in, and I start doing some jiu-jitsu. And it always gets me thinking about this shit, because it's right there. You're moving your body. You have an idea. You have a thought in your mind about what game you're going to play tonight on the mats. What technique you're going to work for on the mats. What game plan you have. It's a thought. But it's meaningless in terms of jiu-jitsu. It's meaningless unless you can manifest that thought and actualize that thought. That's what that actualization process is. It's the process of taking something from the realm of thought, which is a very important part of the process. That's what puts the fuel into your vehicle. That's what motivates you. The thought motivates you to act or to not act. And then when you take it from the realm of thought and you bring it into the physical body now, you're now thinking the thought with movement. It's fluid movement is actually just thought expressed through the body. Okay? Your body is a brain. Your body is intelligent. It's not just this hunk of matter. It's an incredibly advanced machine that's designed just for you. And even if you don't like your body, or there's parts of your body you don't like, learn how to respect your body as an entire temple and learn how to practice the art of turning thought into action. And I can't emphasize this enough, guys, because if you have goals and dreams and aspirations, and you have things you want to accomplish, and you have a particular type of life you would rather live than the type of life that you're living right now, or if there's a relationship that you want to heal or fix, or if there's a part of you that you want to change, or if there, just think of anything. Your New Year's resolution is going to be meaningless if it's just stuck in your head or stuck on some notepad somewhere or stuck on some fridge magnet, or if it's just a meme you posted on your Instagram or whatever. If it stays there, you will lose. And you will feel the repercussions of losing. And it will add up in that little piggy bank of thoughts that become your reality, whether you want them to or not, which can be an incredibly negative situation in your head, and it becomes subconscious because the mind wants to repress trauma. So the moment this mechanism kicks off, because of you basically lost all connection to your sense of self-value and self-worth, because you're not taking thought into the realm of action, and you're letting yourself down, to really make it very simple, you're letting yourself down, then what's happening is you're closing a door. And deep down, your imperial self knows it. You're way more intelligent than you think. You're not just a brain. You're way more intelligent than you think. You have the subconscious mind as well. And when repression happens, things get repressed into the subconscious mind. And then you start to live out these feelings and these anxieties and these depressions that feel like they're out of your control. You ever say that to yourself? Man, this stuff, I feel edgy and I feel down and I feel unmotivated and I feel a lack of belief in myself and I feel disconnected from my goals. And so you don't realize why, because you're saying, well, I feel that way, but I don't know why, and I can't turn it off, and I can't just switch on this motivation that Dave's talking about. I can't just switch on this potential and go out and turn my life into magic. I have to sit here and live like a victim for the rest of my life because I don't know how to pin down. Am I demon possessed or something? Like, something else has taken control of my mind and my body and is not allowing me to go out and live my dream and live the life I was meant and born to live. Something is holding that back and I can't pin it down. Well, guess what? It was these little actions or non-actions that were the product of these thoughts that either manifested or didn't manifest in the right direction or the wrong direction, however you want to look at it. And it reached a boiling point, and you felt that first pang of trauma from that experience of saying, hey, I failed, or I let myself down, or whatever, and you keep doing that again and again and again. You keep letting yourself down, one little thing every day, one little bit. You don't even notice it. You go, it's no big deal, I'm good, I'll get it back another time, I'll win another day. And you don't realize it. It's building up this bank that is going to hit you hard, and then because the mind and the body is going to try to protect you from pain, there's mechanisms built into your psyche that are going to repress that. And then the conscious mind is completely disconnected from it, and you don't even understand you feel like, hey, I got off the hook. But you never did get off the hook, did you? You see in religion where they say your sins come back in the afterlife or you're judged in the afterlife. What if that's just a metaphor for the conscious and subconscious? What we do in life echoes in eternity. Think of that with different eyes now, or different ears, or whatever. Think about that. What you do in life echoes in eternity. What you bring from the conscious mind, what you repress from, what kind of pain and trauma you just repress and you don't address and deal with, become skeletons in your closet. They haunt you in eternity. The sins of the Father live on. Think of all this stuff, guys. Think about it in just context of understanding your daily experience. And if you want to live the fullest potential of the human being that you are, or even if you just want to live more of that, you don't have to be like freaking Dwayne Johnson and go like balls to the wall or anything. You just be you, right? But you just want a little bit more out of yourself this year, and you want to be happier. And when you say happier, you truly just mean you want to live a more fulfilled life. That's the truth. It's not about just happy. It's got to be about fulfilling, being fulfilled. That's what we're all seeking. We're not really seeking happiness. Happiness is just a byproduct of living a fulfilled life. But when you repress these things and you let yourself down constantly, trust me, it adds up. And then guess what? There's that plus all of the things that happen that are outside of your control. All of the relationships that you form with other people that end up changing the dynamic of your life, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad, that are outside of your control, that you also have to deal with on top of your own inner repressed trauma. That starts off with little tiny white lies that you tell yourself, and then they go a little bit darker, and they get a little bit bigger, and then they devour you. And how many people do you know who are devoured human beings? They've given up. They've pulled the plug. They've already committed suicide. They're just walking around as if they're living. And we all have those days where we feel like the walking dead. And what I'm here to tell you from experience, and also from just years of reading and listening and talking to other great thinkers on this, spending time and care and really trying to figure this out, the best way is to live like a warrior. To become your own hero. And to face that little voice in your head that's lying to you. Fear can be the most pure truth you've ever experienced, and it can also be a liar. It has two masks. One serves you, one destroys you and consumes you. It's like fire. I like the reference of fear being like a fire. It's an age-old comparison, and it works very well. Fire is useful. Fire can destroy when out of hand. And so I'm here to tell you that you don't have to live like this. You don't have to live. You're not going to ever escape the process. You can't cheat the process. There's no way to hack the process. Like when I go and do jujitsu, I can't hack jujitsu. Everybody's like, ooh, jujitsu hacks, secret moves that nobody knows. These little heel hook setups and whatever. All these guys, and they're trying to find these little secret workarounds and hacks because everybody wants to cheat the system. Nobody wants to go through the process. Because the process requires time in. It requires work. It requires failure again and again. It requires all those things. But that's where the beauty lies. That's where the truth is. That's experiencing truth. That's taking thought, turning it into action, and then testing it, and then going, oh, let's go back to the drawing board, try it again. That's a beautiful process. That's the strengthening process. That's what it takes to strengthen the immune system of your consciousness that I've been harping about, that you're sick of hearing about. That's what it takes. You can't cheat it. You can't skip two pages at once. You can't jump three flights of stairs at once. Everybody wants superpowers and ways out. You're cheating the steps. Human beings were not designed for that. We were designed to go through the process. And you can make the process easier by a process of elimination, by becoming more efficient, but you're never going to... you can't just memorize stuff. There's a lot of people who are amazing, genius level memorizers. They memorize shit. And that's how the school system taught you how to be, because they wanted you to be an efficient worker. Fine. But then hopefully you go to a higher level of education and you realize it's not about memorization. Maybe I needed some memorization for certain things here and there. It's a brilliant quality and tool that my mind has. Yeah, great. But it's not the be all and end all, because you can't just memorize facts and memorize quotes and memorize paragraphs and memorize ideas and memorize other people's movements and become a copycat that can memorize shit really, really well, where you're just a repeater. That can turn into a disaster because you're cheating yourself. So this year, you're not just going to memorize and repeat. You're going to force yourself in a good way. You're going to commit yourself. I like that word better. I'm an old school libertarian, man. I hate the word force. But you're going to use the proper use of force, which is to bring some care into what you're doing. And to bring some patience into what you're doing. And to get comfortable being uncomfortable with what you're doing. And I'm harping on this because if you were to say, Dave, what would be your final word of advice, or what would be the truth that has been the most glaring truth throughout all the experiences you've had, I would have to say it's this. I would have to say it's me trying to avoid the truth that I'm trying to skip out on that process that is a holy process, and I'm trying to cheat it. I'm trying to hack it. And maybe there's a time for hacking and cheating. I don't know. But I just feel like when it comes to yourself, actualizing your potential into the world, that's not the place for cheating and hacking. I know colloquially we use the word life hacks and we think about but just, it's built around the wrong mentality of just getting what you want now, immediate gratification. That's what that's all about. And you need to check yourself with this. And guys, I want you to know, I'm not preaching at you. I'm also talking to you about my New Year's resolution and the shit I got to work on, okay? I just want to make sure that's clear. I'm just speaking from the heart here that you got to check that part and realize that there is a blessing in delayed gratification over instant gratification all the time. Instant gratification stuff, it's a perk. It's fun. It's sweet, but it's short-lived. It's a quick burst of energy and it's short-lived and then it dies out. Delayed gratification is the long game where you can sustain a lot of focus and energy and commitment in an efficient way to achieve a particular goal, where you realize it's not just about getting the goal, but that it's about the journey towards the goal, and that process is essential to your level of self-estimate and self-value, which is going to influence whatever worldview you develop. It's going to influence your political affiliations. It's going to influence what friends you invite into your life. It's going to influence what relationships you have, whether intimate or just semi-intimate or whatever. And it's going to be connected to what level of success you achieve in your life, in the real world, in the here and now. So it's key. So don't cheat yourself. That could be the easiest New Year's resolution you ever wrote down. And fine, write it down. I believe in the power of writing. Put thoughts on paper first. That's like a good practice. When you put thoughts on paper, you're already practicing putting thoughts into action by the action of writing. I mean, just the action of writing itself, or typing, or whatever. If you have an iPhone and you want to use your Notes app or whatever, and you want to, I mean, that's better than nothing. Some people are old school. They prefer doing the actual pen to paper. I mean, however you want to do it. And you know what? You don't even have to do that. Maybe you're a hip hop artist, you're a rapper or something. So you're going to take your thoughts and you're going to rap it out into a nice little poetic musical thing. Or are you going to play your guitar, or a pair of drum set, or I don't know, some paper mache or something. You're putting thought to action, okay? Step one. But put your thought of what you want, be crystal, crystal clear about what you want, and be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for, as those old legends and stories warn us, like the Aladdins and all that, right? Be careful what you wish for. It's good to have wishes. Just watch it. Watch out. If you're just wishing for instant gratification, you're going to get it. And guess what? It doesn't bring a lot of fulfillment. It brings momentary happiness, but that's short-lived. And what happens when that's gone? Oh, you're just off to the next one. And when you're just living your life in these short little bursts, you're going to gas out. See, if I've learned anything from jiu-jitsu, it's all about learning how to manage your energy efficiently. You're going through long 5 to 10 minute, well, man, I had a good 15 minute straight roll with someone tonight, and it's like, if you don't manage your breathing, if you don't stop and think for a moment that, hey, I'm actually flexing my brain muscle right now. I'm stressed. And I didn't even notice it until I actually took a breath and went, hey, relax my brain, relax my head, relax my face, relax my temples. And I do this little meditative thing while I'm sparring. Because subconsciously, my mind wants to get to a level of spasticity. It wants to tense up. And I'm trying to fight that by staying in the zone, staying focused, because I'm dealing with someone that's trying to sweep me and get on top of me and rip something off and choke me and crush me and suffocate me. And you have to know how to like regulate your breathing under stress, regulate your movements under stress to become more efficient. Do you realize that by doing that, you're actually learning how to change the dynamic of your thinking process? You're carving out new neural pathways. You're opening up new processes in your mind and your body. You're enhancing that Wi-Fi connection signal between the mind and the body, and realizing that, hey, it's not divided and compartmentalized. It's all one. If you want to talk about oneness, forget about just oneness with everybody else, because everybody else is always going to do what everybody else is going to do. How about oneness within your own being? Start there. Holy shit. If you could achieve that, then maybe we'll talk about oneness with other people, maybe. But let's talk about oneness within your own being, because that's what you've been given to use as an experimental lab to manifest a universal principle that is active from the biggest neutron stars and formation of galaxies to the atoms and subatomic and quantum levels. That's happening at all times on all spectrums. And so you don't have control over other people, but you do have control over yourself. And that's the place in the playground to work with this principle. Don't try to force shit on other people and collectivize everybody. Just learn how to become one with yourself and one with that divine intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that permeates all things. And then when you take those thoughts and you're building a synergistic connection with action, you then get to observe objectively whether or not it was a success or a failure when you did that experiment. So that's why I love jiu-jitsu, because it puts you in a place where you can spar hard for a long period of time without taking concussive damage and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you're gonna get a few tweaks and whatever kinks, but it's a safer form, and it lets you put yourself under some pressure so you can fire test stuff. And then I've just noticed that my thinking has gotten clearer, my ability to fight off negative habits and negative belief systems and bad thoughts, thoughts that are consuming me and turning me down and all that stuff. It helps me deal with that. It's my own form of therapy. It's active meditation. Instead of just blissing out. That's what people want. Instant gratification. Come on, yoga master. Show me how to have eternal bliss 24/7 by sitting still and doing nothing. Although yogis, most good yogis, true yogis, they know what's up. I'm talking about these fake gurus that are just trying to tell you to sit there and do nothing. Although there is a time for stillness. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you're still every night when you go to sleep. Your mind stays active. But, you know, all this stuff just has to be in balance, guys. So when I'm talking about this concept of what Marcelo Garcia. I'm sure he's got some brilliant shit, too. I'm talking about Marcus Aurelius. What he was trying to talk about with this idea of the only truth is action. You got to really understand what that means. And there's a lot of benefits that I've found from utilizing that philosophy in certain areas of my life. Especially when it comes to formulating goals and plans and then acting on them and making them happen. I know so many people, guys, too many, and I keep meeting them, of people that are well-meaning and they got all these goals and dreams and they want to do everything and they think they know what they're doing and they find out that, no, I don't, I got a long way to go, and the dream never happens and they don't know why. And they think that, oh, I made a mistake somewhere, right? I made a critical error somewhere, right? When, no, it happened in your mind somewhere, because all I got to do is roll out all the stories, all the success stories of people that have been through hell and back and still made an amazing success out of their lives and benefited so many other people, brought beauty to the world, even through hardship and struggle you can't even calculate. And you'll think twice about trying to use that escape mechanism of saying, oh, well, you know, I just shit didn't work. No, well, why didn't shit work? Did you not follow through? We see, the last thing we want to do is take personal responsibility for that. We want to blame other people. That's the disconnect. You can think all the shit you want. Until you show me, I'm not convinced. You can write down all the fancy philosophies and theories and ideas and all that stuff all you want. I don't care. You got to prove it to me, my friends. I'm a sensei for a living. That's what I do. When I sit down at the exam table, I don't give a shit what you saw on YouTube, what you wrote down on a whiteboard, what you wrote down in your notepad about what you're going to do on this exam I'm about to put you through, this school of hard knocks. If you do not know how to put thought into action, you will fail. And it's the best thing that'll happen to you. So I don't have a lot of time for a bunch of pie in the sky, airy-fairy, heady bullshit. Even though I love philosophy and deep thinking and I'm an Aries and I read books and I love all that stuff. But none of that stuff would mean anything to me if I wasn't also a martial artist. If I wasn't also a philosopher of my body. I don't know if that even made sense. Because to me, it's all the same thing. Doesn't matter what topic we're dealing with, doesn't matter what subject we're talking about, the same process is always there of discovering truth. And you know what, guys? There's going to be a lot of subjects I cover on this show that I don't have the final answer on. When you're exploring mysteries, the whole point of exploring mysteries is that it's a mystery. You don't know. You have ideas, you have theories, You do form biases along the way. You do get convinced of certain things along the way. But it's a mystery. It's a mystery. Unless, of course, you can solve the mystery. If you solve it, you know for sure. Oh, open and shut. That's what it is. Okay. Sky's blue? All right. Well, case closed. We know that now. But I'm just highlighting these things, guys, to hopefully help stimulate you. I'm like the voice in the back of your head that's telling you, hey, look at this. Think of it this way. Maybe you've already thought of it this way, but then maybe you just, it's nice to hear what you already know. In fact, I think all this stuff is stuff we already know deep down. We just forgot it, and we have to kind of relearn it, formulate it. And brilliant people come in, that they pop in and out of this reality through different periods of time in history, and they remind us of what we already know. And, you know, I'm totally an advocate for personalism and individuality, and you're a unique speck of consciousness, and you shouldn't be put into a Borg-like, collectivistic, communistic, mode of living or anything like that. But I also, you know, past the level of the individual, there is only consciousness, and you could call that the all spark, the God, the Tao that permeates all things and powers all of everything we see. So in that sense, there's a oneness. There's a unity. But then you say, well, in this reality, nature has it. The gods have ordained it. The flow of evolution, however you want to look at it, whatever theory you buy into about how we all came here and what the process of nature is, ordained that things be put into categories and things be differentiated from other things. Because if you don't differentiate things, it becomes this... You might as well be dead and go back to the undifferentiated nothing. The void or whatever. The fact that we live in a reality that splits things into categories and manifests unique expressions of the all is also to be respected. So in a point of fact, it is all oneness, and it is all individuated at the same time. That's the weirdest, most craziest Zen cone shit you're ever going to think about. That's what drives people mad. Drives some of the greatest minds mad thinking about that. So don't go mad this year, guys. That's not what we're saying. Just take the best from each category and try to bring it into your life to the best that you can, and make a commitment to yourself that you're not going to let yourself down this year. You're going to make mistakes this year. You're going to fail this year. You're going to have some traumas and things happen to you this year. Some of them small, maybe some of them big. You don't know. It's a mystery. You're still going to formulate a plan, and you're still going to live your life as if you're immortal. But don't forget, life in every breath. Along the way, take your time. Plot it out. Don't do it all in quick bursts. Go for the long haul. Learn how to breathe efficiently. Learn how to think efficiently. Learn how to translate thought into action efficiently. Learn how to observe what you're doing. Think about the question, why? Why? It's not just about what and where and who. It's about why. That's philosophy. It's about the why. Everybody else is obsessed with the what and the who and the when. Those are great questions, and we need people thinking about them. But we got a lot. It's kind of like we're overstocked with that. We need some more why. Why? Why do you want what you want? Why do you want this goal that you've set out for yourself this year? We thought about what you want, but why do you want it? Is it because you think it's going to make you happy? Maybe you're right. Maybe it will. But then what happens when that either... Okay, maybe it does make you a little bit happy for a moment, but then what? Well, back to the drawing board. Yes. But if you don't have an overall process to apply to all aspects of your life, success, failure, love, hate, all the things you're going to experience, I think you're just going to get lost at sea. You're going to consume yourself, and you're going to lose track, and you're going to fall into one extreme or another. You're going to lose your center. The yin-yang becomes unbalanced and unwoven. So I just want to encourage you. Go after it bravely. Go after it passionately. And start with the small little itty-bitty things. The small things. Because it's the small little itty-bitty things that have corrupted you. It's not the big things that have... It's not... You know what? It's not those big... If I said, name a traumatic moment in your life. Tell me your worst failure. It's not even that fucked you up. It was the little tiny things, the little inches that you gave away, the little centimeters that you gave away along the path that you didn't even track, you didn't even consciously think about. And then it boils up, you repress it, and boom, smashes you in the face. And then when some big shit happens, you've got no recourse. There's no life rafts there. You're just lost at sea with nothing. Sharks circling you. So my advice, it's all it is. My advice. Make a process for yourself. Don't map out the thing. Map out the process. Don't map out just the goal. Map out the roadmap. That's what's more fun. That's what's fun about it. If you're just winning everything instantly with no trials or tribulations to go through, no fire testing, then you're not gonna be fulfilled. Human beings were designed for fire testing. They were designed for struggle and trauma and pain, which is why we keep insisting that we live in a world that has nothing but that. Now, I feel like we've fallen to a couple extremes there, but we can help balance it out by balancing ourselves out. And instead of repressing that, instead of running from it and hiding it, you face it, integrate the shadow, as Jung would put it, and integrate some kind of a plan of action about how to live a fulfilling life. Read the book by Viktor Frankl, man, on fulfillment. That'll change your life. It's not about happiness, it's about fulfillment. And fulfillment comes every day. That's why the samurai said life in every breath. That's what they meant. They're out there one day living their life, knowing that tomorrow they might be on the battlefield and they might not come home. So life in every breath. Make a process. Make some rituals in your life. Start forming new habits. And you don't do that by doing everything cold turkey and suddenly and go big all the time right off the bat. You do it in little, tiny, incremental changes. The 5% rule. A 5% rule. Could you this year work towards a strategy? We're not even talking about putting the pressure on yourself to achieve a goal. All you're going to do is put 5% more time in your week towards building a strategy of how to put your thought into action towards your goal. And it can be any goal. I don't even care about the goal. Pick anything. If you don't know what, just pick something. It doesn't even matter. Learn how to play the flute. I don't care. And 5%. And when you've gotten good at that, and you've got good there, then you'll inch yourself towards that, actually achieving it and taking the steps. And you'll surprise yourself. Like, there's days, guys, when I go in on the mats and I'm about to do sparring and I'm sitting there going, man, I've just got off Christmas break. I've been just sitting around eating and drinking. I feel like crap. I'm going to be running out of gas. I'm going to be getting just run over. And then I take a few breaths and I say, stop talking like that. Stop making excuses. Don't think about that right now. Think about the 5% rule. Think about just entering into the process. Enter the dragon. Just get in there. Just start going. And just start with, I'm just going to get in there and focus on breathing. I'm not going to worry about submitting people or landing stuff or winning. I'm just going to get in there and work tonight is focusing on getting better at breathing. And then what happens every time is while I'm focused on getting breathing, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm actually feeling pretty good. And this guy's getting tired. Oh, and he's making mistakes. There's a leg, there's an arm, there's a this, there's, and all of a sudden the mind works more efficiently. And then you find out you're winning. It's weird. You got to psych yourself out. If you focus on winning too much, you'll lose. If you focus on the 5% rule and being incremental with these things and just focus on the process, you'll win. You don't force it. You let it happen. So these are just some ideas that are coming to my head. I'm feeling pretty good about it. This is already motivating me, just talking about it, putting thought to speech, which is good. But now I got to go put it into action. And that takes a daily discipline, and you will feel so bloody good about yourself when you start actually doing that and proving to yourself and not letting yourself down, but letting yourself up. How about you let yourself up for once instead of keeping yourself down all the time? You know what I'm saying? Let yourself up this year. Let yourself at the world. Let yourself at those problems. The solutions will come. They're not immediately available to you right now, but they're there and you know it. And you know you can trust yourself to find the solution when it counts. And you know you can do that because you know there's many examples you can think of from the past where you did it before. So if you did it before, it's within the realm of possibility. And if it's within the realm of possibility and you've already done that shit before, you can do it again in a different area that seems more challenging, but it's really not. It's all the same thing at the end of the day. So I hope that helps. I hope that encourages you. I want you guys to have an amazing new year. I've just put up an exclusive show. This one's for you guys here on my iTunes and Podbean and wherever the hell else this thing is, YouTube. And then I've got an exclusive one over there for my amazing patrons over at Patreon. Thank you so much. Patreon's turning into a bit of a dictatorship, I guess, with closing people down, and I don't even know what to think about it. It's just yet another one biting the dust here, but we'll use them as long as we can. With Truth Warrior right now, I'm not really getting enough funds to build the website that I would need to go completely private with it yet. I've already done that process with Unslaved, and that took, like, I don't know, 3 years to do. So we'll get there eventually with Truth Warrior, with your help. And my goal would be eventually to be completely off a lot of these social media platforms if this is the way they want to handle things. But hey, whatever. You roll with the punches. I'll put this stuff out wherever I can as long as I can. I hope it helps you. I hope you like it. And if you want to support me, you like what I'm doing, then hit me up over at Patreon. If not, it's all good. I got lots of free content coming your way. I got some cool ideas for some guests. I'm going to be working on some more television projects this year. I've been negotiating some cool stuff in the behind the scenes, so you probably catch me on a few different things. We'll see what happens. I'll make some announcements as that goes. Probably hitting up some more Ancient Aliens. They're doing another season. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you, but I'm telling you. And then I'll keep doing this. This is just my passion project. And I'm going to try to cover a wide range of subjects. So let me know what you want to hear about. What kind of people do you want to hear me talk to? What kind of subject matter are you passionate about? Is there something I've spoken about that you really like and you want more about it? Is there something I've spoken about that you really hate and you're like, shut the fuck up about it? Like, let me know what you think. And we'll do our best here. And other than that, peace out. I love you guys. We'll talk soon. Cheers.